Hey guys, this is Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I am here with another awesome online success cast with one of my great friends who's making the web and the world a better place. And the person I have with me today is Lane Amon, and she is rocking it in the scrapbooking niche. She started off and just took off like a firecracker, and I am so incredibly proud of her. And, you know, I like to have all sorts of people on my show, but especially people that are making money in a niche outside of the how to make money online niche. So that's one of the reasons I wanted Lane on today. But the other reason is she's just cool. You guys love her. So without further ado, I would like to welcome my friend Lane Amon.
Oh, you're so sweet. And you know, it's so funny to be here because I met you through your podcast and I fell in love with you because of the way you talked about your friends and your family and particularly your mom. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's just a real nice person and I have to get to know her. And that's how you and I originally met, is that in the big glut of people in internet marketing, you stood out to me as somebody with a good heart, and I used to listen to your podcast, and now here I'm on your podcast. It's super cool.
You know, I totally forgot about that. I remember it now that you say it, that was how you originally introduced yourself to me, was through you had said that you listened to my podcast and loved it, and that's how you reached out to me originally.
That's so funny.
Oh, that was ages ago.
It was.
All right, guys, well, I'm going to give you the link to learn more about Lane before we get started. Go to uncoveringexperts.com/Lane, and Lane is L-A-I-N. And to see Lane's blog, which you're going to want to do as we listen, so you can see exactly what she's doing, go to blogcpr.com/scrap, S-C-R-A-P.
Don't forget the S.
That's blogcpr.com/scrap to see her blog, and go to uncoveringexperts.com/Lane to see the course she's teaching these days about what she's doing in her business. All right. Well, with that out of the way, let's get going, girl.
All right.
Tell me about your business and how it got started.
Well, as you mentioned, I am in the scrapbooking industry, and a lot of people immediately kind of turn off their ears when they hear that. But if there's one thing I would like the listeners to do is keep an open mind through this interview, because so many of the techniques and strategies that I've learned, I would say 99%+ of them have come from industries other than my own. So I would learn lessons and adopt strategies and techniques and apply them to my industry. So listen with an open mind, even if you're a guy, even if you've never even thought about scrapbooking. Hopefully you'll find something useful in what I have to offer you today. So I started as a freelance journalist, and this is going back about 15 years. And I wrote for high-tech publications like the Industry Standard and all the business journal magazines and things like that, with a specialty in high-tech and internet. Actually, it's kind of interesting, online and internet marketing, but in a different sense for corporations. Like I would write articles on when is it good for a company like Monster.com to buy a blimp or Brand A Stadium or something like that, because this was back in the pre-bust days where the money was flowing fast and furious. And that was never a passion of mine. Writing has always been a passion, but that side of business, sales, and high tech was not a passion of mine. And I wrote because I loved to write, and I was in Silicon Valley, and that's where the assignments were. And from there, I had a couple kids and started scrapbooking as a hobby, just because I was doing their baby books and things like that, and fell in love with the hobby of scrapbooking. Just as people get taken by playing the guitar or fly fishing or whatever it might be, I fell in love with scrapbooking. And then I had a couple more kids. I have 3 kids now, and I wasn't working as much anymore. And I thought, you know what, if I'm not working a whole lot, why am I not spending the time I am working about on something that I'm really passionate about, which was scrapbooking? So I emailed a couple of the editors from scrapbooking magazines and introduced myself. I said, I'm a freelance journalist. I've written for these publications, and I'm also a crazy scrapbooker. Do you ever need journalists or writers or editors in your publications? And that is how I got my entrance into the publication and into the industry as a professional, because they did have a need for writers. And I worked my way up and became an editor, contributing editor, traveled around the country, teaching scrapbooking. I started a blog just as a way to keep in touch with the students from my classes. And then the whole economy kind of fell apart, and the magazines that I was writing for started to fold. So as a result of things like 9/11 and the economy, I didn't really want to be traveling and being be away from my family either. So my latest position as a contributing editor for Simple Scrapbooks magazine went away, and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And that was kind of the clean slate time, where it was like, I could do anything now. I don't have a job. I've got these skills. I've got my degrees. What do I really want to do? And what I really wanted to do was do what I had been doing for the magazines, but I couldn't do that. So I thought, is there a way I can do this online? I've got my little blog here. I've got about, 500 subscribers or whatever it might be. Is there a way to turn that into a business? So that was in early 2010 that I was looking at that. And that's when, about the time I discovered you. I did a lot of research, looked at internet marketing, took courses, took Yara Stark's course on starting your blog, and decided I can do this. I can do the same thing I was doing for someone else, for a publication, write, teach, create, but do it for myself on my blog. So that was in May of 2010. So I'm actually right here at my third anniversary. So that was the beginning.
I can't believe that that was May of 2010. Oh my gosh. You really, really took off, because, I mean, I know your numbers because we work together. Yep. And wow. Your climb up the learning curve and up the ladder of success was a lot faster than mine was.
But, if you look back, it didn't start in May of 2010. It started, when I became a freelance journalist and started that business for myself and writing and honing that skill and working with editors and then writing for the scrapbooking magazine. So where do you ever, say this is, it's not like in Monopoly where everybody starts at the first at go and we all go from there. I mean, we all started at different places, and anybody's journey really starts way before the time they buy that URL usually.
That's very true. You had already developed a network of people. You were familiar with your industry. You had connections, and you had the skills of writing and editing, which are huge in the online marketing world.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's funny, though? I mean, if you think back to that time, and you were there because we were actually actively working together, my first belief was not that I was going to make this scrapbooking business into my main thing. I wanted to do a more general lifestyle blog, kind of in the vein of Martha Stewart, and create Martha Stewart type projects and recipes and advice, but for real people. And you and I had a conversation about that, and you said, you know what? I can see you doing that. It's going to take longer because you are starting from scratch in that case. I really see a lot of monetization possibilities with your scrapbooking audience. Do you remember that conversation?
I do.
So, we had done a little bit of chat beforehand, and you'd said one of the questions you wanted to ask was, why did I choose this type of business? Well, I did have that experience, and I did have a passion for it, but I was looking at something different, and my business coach said, if you want to get to profit sooner rather than later, you need to play this out.
Sometimes I'm pretty smart.
You certainly are.
And how many people do you tend to have now when you do your big online webinar events?
Oh my gosh. So to explain that a little bit, one of the cornerstones really of what I do now, both in terms of bringing in new people as a traffic generator and as a revenue and content generation strategy, is I hold a series of online events. I hold monthly free what we call scrapinars, and those occur once a month on a topic that's related to scrapbooking. And this is one of those tips that could easily be applied to any business. Just pick a topic that's hot in your neck of the woods or corner of the world or corner of the net. And so those are free. And then people who register get to attend free and get a replay for a limited time for free. And then they're turned into paid products afterwards. Then in addition to those monthly scrapinars, I produce large-scale events several times a year where we'll have 15 instructors over the course of 2 days or a day-long event, and those are paid events.
And those are also online
yes.
at this point.
Mm-hmm. And we use the same format as the monthly as well, and it's a great solution for a couple of reasons. But so at the free monthly ones, I can have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 registered emails for one event, and we typically have about a third who attend live. And they know they're going to get the replay, and we also have a worldwide market. And so obviously if I have something at 8 p.m. on the East Coast, people on the West Coast may just be wrapping up their business day or maybe dinner time or something like that. So my market is largely moms, and it is worldwide. So just with the time difference, I don't expect everybody to be attending live. So, yeah, so anywhere 1,000 to 2,000 registered and about a third, quarter to a third attend live.
And then your True Scrap mm-hmm. event, you mentioned that, but can you explain exactly how that works?
Sure.
So people can get an idea, because I just think it's brilliant how you set it
sure.
up.
Sure. So this is, you know, there's in the internet marketer, this is where I took a concept from internet marketing and thought, why aren't we doing this in scrapbooking and in crafting? And basically we had all these webinars or expert series or things like that where people would pay to get access to 5 one-hour classes on list building or traffic generation or whatever it might be. And I thought, with the technology the way it is now, we are ripe to take this technology and transfer it over to the crafting industry. So with crafters, we're very visual. And so I didn't see a successful model built on a teleseminar where it's phone-based or even just slideshow-based. We really needed that live video. And I was able to find a provider who could offer that in a stable format. And so that's what I use. I use WebEx, which is by Cisco. It's their event center. It's their large-scale, more expensive product that Fortune 500 companies use for their sales forces. So I'll bring in 15 instructors from around the world over the course of 2 days, and they'll each teach a one-hour class. And people register. It's a paid event. They get access to everything live, and then they also get full replays of everything. So it's a model that's very common in other industries, but it hadn't been brought to the scrapbooking or crafting world yet. And I was able to do that 2 years ago.
And you've been able to scale that,
yeah.
which is, I think, awesome, because your first few events, you had like 50 customers, 100, and now every time you have it, it grows and grows and grows.
Right. I think the first one was April of 2011, and we did have like 150, 175 paid people for that one. Mm-hmm. But at our last one, we actually had a one-day true stamp event, so it was even more narrow than the scrapbooking. It was on stamping, and that was in March, and we had about 500 people at that.
Awesome. Yes. I am so happy for you. That's
Thank
awesome.
You. And by using the event center, we can go up to 1,000 people attending live. And mm-hmm. that's where you really look at it and think, you know, this could really be something. We're not limited to 20 people in a ballroom or a hotel conference room. We could literally have, at this level, 1,000 people, and they actually have the capability of more than 1,000, but at the level that I'm using it, up to 1,000 people attending live.
Wow, that's fabulous. I'm so happy
Thank
for
you.
It's so very happy
thank
for
you.
You.
You've seen me through the good and bad of getting that off the ground, so thank you very much.
All right, so what would you say are the top 3 things that you've done to just grow your business online and just to have the quick level of success that you've had?
Mm-hmm. I chose to interpret this question as more about decisions that I made rather than specific actions that I took. So instead of just saying, oh, I signed up for AWeber and that made all the difference, I really took a look at the decisions I'd made over time. And the first one was choosing a field where I had a leg up. And I didn't go into online business and think, you know what? Everybody's making money in fitness. I should really start a fitness blog, because I didn't have any experience there. I didn't really have a passion for that. I didn't have contacts in that industry or that niche. And it just didn't make sense. So choosing something where I already had contacts, I already had experience, I already knew the manufacturers, I knew the players, I was a scrapbooker, so, and I still am, so I can easily say this is what's going to appeal to scrapbookers. That was huge. So, you know, I'll get emails sometimes from people who hear me on different podcasts, and I was on Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income, and I still get emails, even though it was like a year ago, asking me for advice on things, and they'll present ideas that they've chosen just because they think it's a good business idea, but not necessarily because they have any passion or interest in the topic. So that's number one, is just choosing an area where I knew it inside and out, and that just cuts down on the time to profit tremendously, because you already know what's going on. You don't have to do as much research.
Definitely. I absolutely agree. It used to be a little bit before you got online, it used to be you choose niches, just a variety of niches where there was little competition and there was interest. And so people were putting up websites on things they knew nothing about and were not interested in, just because they were hoping to get some traffic from the search engines and maybe make a little money. And, you know, that's definitely not the way to build a business. That was dabbling. So I love that you dug in where you already had the knowledge, the expertise, and the context. Like I said before, I think you hit the ground running, definitely, and you haven't stopped.
Definitely. I mean, that is so true. And a lot of that was at your advice, because that was something that you had mentioned to me. And that ties in with my second decision, was to get a coach. And I've worked with a variety of coaches over the last 3 years, you, of course, being front and center. And whether someone comes to you or feels like they resonate better with somebody else or whatever the situation might be, find somebody who you are paying to give you advice. And I think a couple things on this. I may go on a rant here. Is that okay?
Please do.
I think there's this false idea out there right now about the mentor, and it's almost like a fairy godmother, where people say, oh, find a mentor. Gurus love to say this, find a mentor and they'll guide your steps. And I mean, I would have loved to have a mentor like who just showed up and waved the magic wand and said, I will show you the path. And or whether it's Richard Branson or, you know, whoever it might be, Mark Cuban showing up at my door, that is not going to happen. And you need to seek out somebody, and you need to get in some kind of relationship with them where I suggest looking at the dollar for value model. And there are different ways you could approach that if you don't have the money for that right now in terms of an exchange of skills or doing some work for them. But it's got to be a business relationship, because this mentor thing, it's like people are being sold a bill of goods. It sounds really good when people say, yeah, find a mentor. But you know how many emails I get from people saying, can you provide advice for me? And they're people who have never purchased one of my products. And I know this happens to you too, Nicole. They've never purchased one of my products. They've never provided value to me in any way, shape, or form. And to me, providing value to me is the same as providing value to my audience. So it isn't somebody who's been communicating or building my community. It's somebody who just shows up out of the blue and says, oh, will you? I've had this happen. Will you be my mentor? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no.
Let me sugarcoat it for you. No.
Unless you share my DNA, it ain't going to happen. And I mean, just think about it, though, from somebody who's listening and thinking, well, how am I going to get ahead, or how am I going to make my way? I mean, anybody who you would want to have as a mentor gets multiples of these requests. So what are you going to do for them to make it worth their time? And like I said, if you share my DNA, you know, I'm more than happy to help you out. If we aren't related, most people have some kind of coaching program, and it starts typically at a low level with not low in terms of value, but low dollar value, where you could get an ebook or join a monthly membership where it's $10 or $20 a month. But you can't expect to get value from somebody else if you're not providing value to them. So the coaching thing, I think you should forget about looking for a mentor and find a coach.
Amen, sister. Preach on.
Thank you. So that's number two. And you may need to switch coaches at different times, just because you're at different levels in your business looking for different skills. At certain times when I was looking to scale my business in certain ways or investigate different opportunities, whether it be Facebook advertising or pay-per-click advertising or the large scale events, not every coach you have is going to have every skill you want. So it's not like you find one coach and you're committed to them for the rest of your life. Although that can happen, go into it saying, I want to learn X, find somebody who can teach you X. And then when you're ready to learn Y, find somebody, that person or somebody else who can teach you Y. So that's definitely, that kind of wraps up number two there.
And a good coach too will know when they're not skilled in something, and they'll either refer you to someone else or they'll find the answer for you. I mean, if it's a simple question, like if you asked me how to do Facebook advertising, I'm currently not doing Facebook advertising, but I can either find somebody that, you know, I can use my connections to find somebody that's doing it really well and refer you to that person, either to a course or to a webinar or to transfer, you know, the coaching relationship to that person.
Right.
So a good coach is not going to say, you know, I know everything about everything and I'm the one person you need, because that's just impossible.
Right. That's so true. And they don't have to be in your industry either. I mean, I haven't coached with anybody who's been in a craft related industry. You have some experience in crafting and women's niches and things like that, but you had never specifically done what I was going to do, but you had experience that I could profit from and valuable.
And I had connections mm-hmm. too. Have connections that when you came to me with a question, if I didn't know the answer, I could find it.
Right.
Or find someone who could help you, which is a huge part of coaching as well.
Exactly.
Tapping into that person's connections.
I agree with you.
You usually do.
Exactly.
Right.
And then the number three item I would say was making the decision to do something different than what everyone else was doing. It's really easy, again, online to try to find that business in the box or the path or the system or the blueprint is really common right now. But you don't really want to build a business like everybody else's. It's like, you know, when you see those cube houses or the prefab houses, you don't want your house to look like everybody else's. Your business sure shouldn't look like everybody else's. So don't try to find a pre-made path. Learn the skills to create your own path. And that could be as simple as when I started my podcast, most everybody was doing video podcasts for scrapbooking, which makes sense. And I thought, you know what? I'm in the car more than I'm sitting at my computer. And this was several years ago when my kids were a little bit younger. So I'm going to do an audio podcast because I know there's people who are going to want to listen who can't be watching while they're listening. And that proved to be really successful. And the same with the virtual events. People were doing a lot of in-person crafting events, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do an online virtual event because nobody else is doing that. And it can be scarier. It is scarier because nobody's done it before, and it's risky, and it's also where the big payoffs are. Because if you're just doing what everybody else is doing, your success is only going to be a fraction of their success, if that. So try to forge your own path rather than just create, you know, operating from a recipe. So those would be the three things I'd say.
I love that. You're being a pilgrim in your industry, which I think is fabulous. You didn't try to reinvent the wheel, but you evolved what other people were doing into the next level. And like you said, looking at what other industries were doing. So it's not like you just came up with the idea of, oh, we should invent a webinar. But you saw that it was working in other industries and decided this would really work for scrapbooking.
Yep.
And I also like how your model right now is most of your free stuff is audio, and then your paid stuff is video too.
Yeah, and that's kind of with the idea of not giving it all away, but giving them a good feel for what they're going to get. And mm-hmm. I think when people buy any of those products from me, they have a really good feel for what they go to one of the lower-level products or a free product, they have a good sense of what they're going to get. It's very consistent.
And they get to know you through your podcast as well, mm-hmm. which is always a good thing. And it's kind of cool because you do sell video products. They get to hear your voice, get to know your personality more than reading on your blog, and then transition that over to the video side of things.
Right.
I like that. So, Lane, what would you say are some unique tools that you're using in your business right now?
One that I've discovered recently that I really love is Spreecast, and it's Spreecast. And it's sort of like Ustream or Livestream or one of those free streaming video platforms. But I'm really liking Spreecast. There are no ads. It automatically records. People can go back and watch your recordings for no cost. And it's also got the ability to put your audience members on the camera as well. So if I'm doing one of, I do this class called Scrapbook Improv once a month. That's basically me creating scrapbook pages live. And I can put people on the camera if they want to be, or put them on audio if they want to ask a question or show what they're working on. And it just increases the engagement quite a bit. So Spreecast has been really, really fun. And I've just discovered that within the last couple of months.
Oh, is that ever neat? So do you aim, then, when you're doing the scrapbooking page, do you aim the camera at your hand?
You know,
how do you do that?
I would like to be able to do that, and I'm still trying to figure out a system for that. And one idea I had was to log on via my iPhone as an attendee and then put that on camera so people could see both, but it's not supported for iPhone yet. So I'll just show. I'll hold it up and show is what I do. And it's not ideal, but I'm still working on getting my hands on the camera for the Spreecast. But that's probably a concern that most of the listeners won't have. Their hands don't need to be on camera.
I was just curious how you were handling that.
Typically, I'll just hold it up and show them what I'm going to do. And it seems to work pretty well. It's not, again, not ideal, but it's working. And the technology mm-hmm. will catch up. I'll be able to get it on my iPhone pretty soon. The other one I love is Fiverr, Fiverr.com. And Fiverr is a site, if your listeners haven't heard of it, where it basically is people who will do things for $5. And pretty much anything you can think of, they will do for $5, whether it's writing your company name in lipstick on their forehead and running around the block, or taking a picture of the Eiffel Tower holding your sign, or drawing a cartoon avatar of you. Or, I mean, there's things too, like, you know, kind of on the gray hat, black hat side of things, where they'll get you Facebook likes and things like that. I don't really go into that area, but I, for one of my past paid events, I actually went on Fiverr and spent, I think it was about $150. So I got about 30 of these short videos promoting the event. And some of them were totally wacky. Like there was a guy in India who had his trained chicken pick an envelope off the table, and he'd open up the envelope and it would have my logo in it. I mean, just totally wacky stuff. Some other guy juggled while he was talking about my event, holding, you know, juggling fire sticks, and had fireworks going off on his head. I mean, they're really crazy, and it was really fun, and they were each only $5. So if one of them wasn't so great, it was totally okay. And most of them were pretty kitschy, but it was just fun. And my brand is all about fun. And so it fit my brand really, really well. If you're more serious, they obviously, or not obviously if you haven't been to the site, but they do have other more serious options if you want something that's more professional. But this fit perfectly with my brand.
Do they have a serious trained chicken?
Yes, he doesn't smile at all. Or she doesn't smile at all.
And just out of curiosity, when you did those, did you make them evergreen, or did you mention the dates of your event? How did you plan to be able to reuse them?
I wish I had, but I really was investing just for that event. I figured $150, you know, it was not a ton of money for a one-time thing. And the reason I did it is I had actually gotten a quote to create more of an evergreen video trailer type of thing, and the quote was like $3,000 for a 30-second or 1 minute professionally done video trailer. And I thought, you know what, I'm going on Fiverr. For that much money, I can get them done every single time.
So. Oh, absolutely. Was there a trained chicken in the $300? Did you say $300 or $3,000?
$3,000. $3,000, and you didn't even get a trained chicken. I mean, come on.
What a ripoff.
No fireworks on your head, nothing.
That's hilarious. Well, and the thing is if you go back and you grab all of those scripts that you sent out, mm-hmm. you can just have your virtual assistant edit the dates and reorder all of them for you.
Well, the chicken thing, though, like in the video, he's holding the thing that says lay out a day, 213. So, but you know what? I'm going to do more evergreen ones now that I had such fun and I've tested out some of these guys, because some of them I would go back to, some of them weren't so great. I could go back to about 10 of them and get some evergreen ones made for $50. Right. And I think that's a great idea. It's on the list, the ever-growing list.
That is so cool.
So Fiverr, yeah. So no matter what, and I was specifically looking for video. If you want logo, you can find a lot more, even more options. But I was looking specifically. Oh, and I had a puppet. I'm going to send you a link for one or two of these because they're pretty funny. I had he builds himself as the ghetto puppet. And he says, some people are thinking that scrapbooking's all Dexter, but no, only the hippest, hoppinest puppets in the hood are taking part in load 5213. I mean, it was hilarious. It was so funny.
So did you have to write all of the scripts, or did they come up with some of them?
Some of them I gave prompts to, just the basic info. Like, there's this one guy who dresses up as a cowboy and sings a cowboy ditty. And he actually created a lot of the text around the specifics, but the puppet one I wrote. But, you know, that's totally my thing. I love that. So if anybody needs a puppet script, tell them to get in touch with me. I'm happy to help them.
Well, that's classic.
Yeah, I'll send you some links to those. They're all up on my YouTube channel, but they're so funny. They're really funny.
Aww.
So those were two, and gosh, maybe I should just stop at two, but I've got three.
I don't think we can beat the trained chicken.
No, we can't. Number three is PicMonkey. PicMonkey.com. And it has nothing to do with monkeys, trained or otherwise. But it's basically a simple image editing site. So you can upload. It's like Photoshop for dummies. And I'm a dummy when it comes to using actions and things like that. So you can upload your image to PicMonkey, drag and drop, and you can add text on it. You can add effects to it. You can change it to black and white, or put different, like that Boku effect with the bright lights in the background, and do all sorts of fun things with it. And they've got a free level and a paid level. And the free is great. And I went ahead and upgraded to the paid because I loved the free level so much.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And
I was just going to say, that's been great because I've been doing a lot of more image posting to Facebook and to Pinterest. And that's been a fantastic, easy way to create those pinnable images that I put at the top of my blog post to give people something to pin that pulls back to the blog post.
I'm going to have to check that out because I have an account at Big Stock Photo, and I just got an email from them the other day that said, you have 42 credits and they're all going to expire tomorrow. And I went, So I just bought a whole bunch of pictures that now I have to do something with.
There you go. And it can be a fun way, too, to just put – I've started doing this thing on Facebook where I put up like a little inspirational thought for the day, and it's called Lane Fuchsius. Lane Fuchsius says whatever it might be. And some of those I've turned into graphics with the quote on it, and it's been great for that because then you can create the graphic, pin it to your own pin board, put your URL to your blog in there, and then when people repin it, it gives you that SEO back to your blog.
Right. You get the link back to your blog, which is always good for search engine optimization.
Even if it has nothing to do with scrapbooking.
It's
something that my market is interested in. So
definitely. Very cool. Guys, I'm going to remind you, you're listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I am talking with my good friend Lane Amon, and you need to go to blogcpr.com/scrap to see what she's doing on her Layout a Day site, and probably also you can see some of those videos she was talking about. And also, if you want to learn more from Lane, go to uncoveringexperts.com/Lane, LAIN. Lane, you know, this question isn't on here, but what is one of the questions that people ask a lot is, what do you use in your business? And I kind of mentioned this. I've asked this in the past of my guests. And we tend to see the same tools over and over again. So, like, what do you use for your list?
AWeber.
Same AWeber
as everybody, I'm sure.
And what hosting do you use?
HostGator.
Okay. And which shopping cart do you use?
eJunkie. That's actually something that's, at this point in my business, is getting to be a bit of a sticking point, because it was great when I was starting out. Very simple to use. It does your shopping cart, integrates with PayPal, integrates with AWeber, also does the affiliate program. It's very inexpensive. Like, you can get a free trial, and then the lowest plan is $5 per month. But I'm at the point now where I'd love to do some more tracking and have a little more flexibility with my affiliate program, and the capabilities aren't there. So that's something I'm actively looking to adjust in the next, I would say, 6 months to a year.
You've outgrown it.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is a good thing. That is a good thing.
Yep.
Well, are you ready to move on to the next question, or did you have some other tools you wanted to chat about?
Those are the big ones, and I already mentioned WebEx, which is such a cornerstone of what I do. So.
Mm-hmm. WebEx is what you use to run your webinars and your live events on the weekend live events
yep.
as well.
Mm-hmm. And you had an expert brief a while back on what people use for the webinar. So if people are more interested in why I chose that, because that isn't the common answer. Many people use Instant Teleseminar. I got into that in a little more detail in that expert brief.
Okay, and I'll put the link to that with this interview so they can go back and see that. Thank you. So what's one mistake that you've made in your long years online?
My hundreds of years online. I would say one big mistake was the first live event that I did, and again, 2 years ago now, and it seems like so much longer, but when I was working to pull that event together, I was really worried about over-investing dollar-wise. And I was keeping an eye on my expenses. And for that particular event, I did not use Cisco WebEx. I went with a different host who was not able to do what I needed. And I ended up switching like a week before, and then trying to start from scratch with a new platform and learning how to record and everything like that. And they had oversold it. And at some point, you know, your time is worth more than your money. And peace of mind is worth more than just putting a dollar value on peace of mind is very difficult. But I pay $600 to $700 a month, depending on how many files I have stored, for Cisco WebEx. And that is way, way, way more than most people will ever pay for Adobe Connect or Instant Teleseminar or any of those. But for what I need it for, it gets the job done, and it doesn't keep me up at night. And I was up many, many nights and in that first go-round. So I guess the mistake was trying to find the cheapest option and paying for that in terms of sleepless nights and stress. And the lesson learned is that once you find something that works, don't switch just because you hear everybody else is using it. So if you hear everybody's using Infusionsoft and you don't need the capabilities of Infusionsoft, don't go hopping around. And don't, you know, if you're using MailChimp and it works for you right now, don't just switch over to AWeber because everybody else says AWeber is the best. Don't switch until the pain is high enough to make it worthwhile. Does that make sense?
That definitely makes sense. And I remember those 2 weeks very clearly because that was when we were doing a lot of coaching. And you'd get on and say, Nick, can you please get in this room with me? We need to test it. My event's coming up. And I'm like, yeah, let's go see how it works.
And half the time we couldn't figure. I mean, we went through several different rooms. You found some for me to try out, too, because I was so I was just I didn't know. And so now that I have something that works, a lot of times people come to me and say, you know, such and such tool would only be $500 a month, and it's something I've never heard of before, and I would have to start over from scratch. And to save $100 a month, it's just not worth it. It's
right.
And there may come a point where there's something that's $100 a month that's equally as good. Then, you know, then we start getting in the area where it would be worth several hours worth of my time to learn the new system. But not only am I going to have to learn the new system, my audience is going to have to learn it too. So that's something to take into account too, is that my audience has now been trained how to use the event center, and they are comfortable with it, and they know the little quirky parts of things, and I don't want them every month being showing them a new system, and it just makes me look unprofessional.
That is an incredibly good point. You had two really good points that you said just now.
Only two? No, I'm just kidding.
Just in the last minute or two.
All right, phew, I feel better.
The first thing that I want to repeat is that you said you originally went with the cheapest instead of the best solution for you. You went with the cheapest solution. It caused you pain. Obviously, we had to look for something better. And thankfully, you know, you've got something that works for you now. And the other thing is the audience. Of course, that's a brilliant point, that not only every time you switch tools do you have to learn it, but your audience is inconvenienced as well. And they're paying, you know, good money to be able to interact with you and have an enjoyable, stress-free experience. So whether it's a shopping cart or whether it's a webinar room, that is a really good point. And especially because you've got people on Macs, you've got people on PCs, you know, Yep. You've got people, they're at a different experience levels as far as knowing how to even use a computer and download files. That's a really good point. And that's something to take into consideration when you're paying that amount every month is, my audience knows how to use this. They've been trained to use it, and they're expecting to have a service that they're comfortable with when they're spending money to attend this event.
Right. And it also helps them be a helper for the newcomers. And that'll happen a lot when we come into one of our sessions. And I've got an assistant now who attends all the webinar sessions to handle tech support actually in, you know, people are saying, how do I chat? How do I do this? I can't turn this off. Da, 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 da. She's handling all that in the chat area. But now that so many of my community members are comfortable with it, they actually will step up too and say, oh, so-and-so, you just need to try this. And it just, we've got many helping hands instead of, it's like having your friends over and they all know where the silverware is. And you don't have to be getting the coffee. They, you know, they know where it is. They'll help themselves, and if somebody who's new needs help, they'll say, oh, yeah, the bathroom's down here to the left, and it just makes life so much easier.
Or in my house where the wine opener is. Of course. So would you say there was a tipping point that got you to success, and if so, what would you say, you know, made the difference?
You know, I don't know if it was a huge tipping point, like where you look at it and say, okay, one day is this way and the next day is a different way. I don't think it's been that black and white, but there was definitely a period of time where I felt like I was working so very, very hard and it wasn't necessarily showing up. And this is probably about that same time, about 2 years ago, when you and I were working together almost daily, on coaching. And I just felt like, you know, I did the 100 article challenge on easing articles, and I recorded 50 YouTube videos, and I was just putting so much out there, and it didn't necessarily feel like it was feeding into, it wasn't moving on its own. I was still trying to get the car going so it could coast a little bit. I was still pushing and pushing and pushing. And I would say that between that year probably, so that had been almost a year online. So I would say this, my second full year in business was a tipping point, because I felt like I wasn't doing everything for the first time, that I had enough content out there. So if I skipped a day on something because, you know, it's my daughter's field trip, or I just didn't feel like doing a video that day, or whatever it might be, I had enough out there that would kind of take over in the momentum. I had enough autoresponders in the autoresponder series, just enough content, enough background, enough information, and confidence as well. So if I wanted to record a podcast, I didn't have to pull out my cheat sheet anymore. It just felt like things got a lot easier, I guess, is probably the way I would put it.
That makes sense. You finally started to get that momentum.
Yeah.
All those little things started to finally add up.
Right, right. And in different areas of my business, it's been a different tipping point where that momentum has taken over. Like this spring, I've been focusing heavily on Facebook and building my presence there and building my Facebook fan page or like page or whatever they call it these days. And it does, you will reach a point where it kind of feeds itself in terms of, you know, you get X number of people and they're talking about it. And so other people naturally see it. But those ripples have to be big enough so they make a splash in the pond, if that makes sense, or that people can see them. So there is a lot of work before the work becomes apparent.
Gotcha. I like that. So what advice would you give to your own mother or your sister or your best friend or your daughter?
Somebody who shares my DNA, that's what you're saying.
Well, I know your daughter has a blog now, right?
She does. She does. It's called Saw It on Pinterest.com. She takes her projects from Pinterest that she sees. She's 12. She recreates projects from Pinterest and puts up the results on her blog. So it's pretty cool. And so advice, she never listens to me, so I'll tell you guys instead. She's almost a teenager. She's actually standing right behind me. She might hit me. She's taller than I am. The first thing I would say is choose something where you have a passion. And we talked about that pretty extensively earlier. Pick an area that you really do care about. Don't just pick raising llamas because you heard that llamas are the next huge money-making area or whatever it might be, or chickens.
Unless you're passionate about llamas.
Yes, if you love llamas, you're going to have a step up because you already know more than most people do about it. The next thing would be to focus. Focus in terms of exactly what do you want to do in that industry or niche. Do you want to be a reporter where you share all the latest and greatest news? Do you want to create classes? Do you want to be a writer? Do you want to do videos? Do you want to teach? Do you want to coach people? I mean, there's a lot of different models of business. Do you want to create technology that helps those people? So it's not just, I want to start a business about llamas, for instance. What is that? Do you want to teach people how to raise llamas? Do you want to create videos for llamas to watch? I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do. And you need to focus in on that. And then it does take time. It's not immediate, and you can't really compare your path to anybody else's because, as we mentioned earlier, we don't all start from the same square on the board, and we don't all start at the same time. So comparing what you've done in a year to what I've done or what Nick did in a year or anything, it's an apples to oranges comparison. You just can't make that comparison. You have to focus on your own journey. And then network. And I talk a lot about this with my coaching clients in terms of I talk about reaching out to people who are at the same level you are, reaching up to the people who are more advanced than you are or maybe have some of the skills that you're trying to get, and then reaching down to help other people who are trying to establish themselves as well, and not down in any sort of negative sense, but just if you think about the ladder of success or the hill, you want to be reaching out to the people who are ahead of you to find out what the path ahead is like, talk to the people who are traveling the path with you, and then give some input to the people behind you so they know what potholes to avoid and take advantage of your experience.
I say the same thing. Great minds think alike.
Yes, they do.
All right, so one of the things that you said was your journey. And being patient along your journey as much as you can and understanding that it is a journey. You're not going to blink your eyes and wake up in the morning and have, you know, $100,000 in your PayPal account unless that's part of a launch or part of your plan, but it's just not going to magically happen. And that's one of the things I remember that we did was over the course of our time together was you would print out your AWeber.
Mm-hmm.
A screenshot of your AWeber account so you could see it growing month after month after month, because otherwise you feel you don't remember how far you've come unless you have that visual where you can look back and go, oh, wow, since last month I've added 300 people. I didn't realize that. And so you can actually see the progress in black and white and understand that you are moving forward, even if sometimes it feels like you're not. And so being able to look at that in black and white, I think, is so important.
Yep.
And you know, I know that on the days that you were frustrated, in which we all get frustrated, looking back at those things, you'd go, oh, okay, it's only been a month since we started this, where it feels like you've been on this path for this one project for 6 months. You're like, oh, it's only been a couple weeks. Okay. And we've made this progress. All right, I'm okay.
Right.
So I know otherwise your mind just starts to spin and that can get really difficult. And when I say your, I don't mean your, I mean in general, the general you. And so, yeah, that's all great advice. So if you had to rebuild your business from scratch and you didn't have a list or contacts, how would you rebuild tomorrow if you had less than $100 to do
it? Oh, that's such a tough one. I'm trying to think of something different than what everybody says, where I get an AWeber account and you get it for free and then I put up my website and blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to say go join NAMS. That's my advice. NAMS is Niche Affiliate Marketing System, but I think they're changing the name. Anyway, it's NAMS. It's mynams.com. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have an affiliate link, so use that one. Don't use the one I just gave you. Use next affiliate link. And what it is a community of experts, and the experts are all learners as well, which is why I love the NAMS community. And Nick and I have both instructed at NAMS events. There's the February and the August event in Atlanta, and they also have a site where it's got tons and tons of content and information and training, and I mean, it's just there's tons of stuff there. So I'm not sure what the dollar amount is to join right now, but I'm assuming it's less than $100. So if someone was going to rebuild from scratch and they didn't have contacts, I think that's a great community, a very friendly community to start from. And the thing is, online, there's all different flavors of neighborhoods. And some of those neighborhoods, you just don't want to hang out in by yourself. I mean, there's like the Warrior Forum, and there's lots of great information there. But if you are a rank beginner, I just would not recommend somebody. It's like sending, you know, somebody from a small town in Ohio into New York City with no subway map and say, hey, good luck. You know, I just wouldn't do it. And NAMS, I can guarantee you that the people there are of such high moral and ethical standing that you're not going to get taken advantage of, and you'll really find people who want to help you and who have the skills to help you. So that would be my thing that I would either recommend to somebody else or that I myself would do if I was reincarnated tomorrow and had nothing. Go join NAMS.
I think that's great advice. And also, once you start making money, then join us in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Because then you get to hang out with us, yep. And that's always a good thing.
It is. So fun.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'm going to remind you that you're listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I'm here with Lane Amon. And you need to go to blogcpr.com/scrap. That's blogcpr.com/scrap to check out her scrapbooking site. And then also head over to uncoveringexperts.com/Lane, LAIN. That's uncoveringexperts.com/Lane, LAIN. And you can learn all kinds of stuff about our Lane. Well, Lane, we're down to one last question, and that is, what's something that's working for you right now in your business that you can share?
I have, as I mentioned, been focusing on Facebook and building my Facebook group and connections there. I had a pretty vibrant personal account and profile and a lot of connection there, but I wanted to kind of move things over to my business account, so I've been kind of trying a few different things to build that up. And Amy Porterfield is an expert in Facebook marketing, and she put out a podcast a few weeks ago with some information on how to create a specific type of ad. And this is getting very granular. So when you said what's working in my business, this is like I've been giving a lot of kind of high-level stuff. So this is a very specific thing that's been working. She has this a step-by-step process for creating a sponsored story to get additional likes to your page. And it has worked tremendously. And so I'll give Nick, I'll give you the link to that. So you can add that to the show notes as well. But she goes through it. It's a no-cost podcast with a PDF that goes along with it. And it's just been working incredibly. I've been really pleased with the results.
Oh, great. Thank you, Lane.
Sure.
All right. Well, do you have anything that you're working on now that you want to tell us about?
Well, the latest thing that has been more general in nature, rather than specific to my scrapbooking industry, is a couple times over the last 6 months I've taught a 30-day class called Crafting Your Business Step-by-Step, where we have 30 days to build the basis for your online business. We go through that process of determining, okay, so you want to have a business in llamas. What specifically are you going to do with llamas? And creating a marketing and social media plan around that in 30 days. And previously that information was only available to people who took that 30-day class, but I've just released it as an ebook. It's called Crafting Your Business Step-by-Step as an ebook. And that has just been released in the last week or so. So I'm kind of excited about that.
That's cool. Well, we'll set that up as the redirect for uncoveringexperts.com/lane.
Sounds
so
good.
If you guys want to check out crafting your business step by step, go to uncoveringexperts.com/lane, and you can see that course and what it's all about. Well, darling, thank you so much for spending the last hour with me.
Oh, it's so fun. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah, I not only are you in my book, but now you're on my podcast. We're linked together forever now.
Yay!
All right, guys, you've been listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I've been bragging on my friend Lane Amon, who is awesome, and you guys need to go check out all her stuff, and then be sure to sign up on my blog so you can get updates about all of my podcasts and hear everybody's path to success. It's always different. It's always interesting. I love hearing about it. Guys, you are a rock star. I appreciate you all so much for listening. Lane, you already know you're a rock star.
I was waiting for you to say it, though, because that I used to imagine being on your podcast and you saying, Lane Amon, you're a rock star.
Well, then I better say it. Lane Amon, you are a rock star.
I think I'm going to make that the ringtone on my phone.
Every time I call or every time anybody
calls. Anybody.
All right, guys. Listeners, you are a rock star, too. Thanks for listening. Big hugs, and we'll be back soon. Bye.